Hey team, welcome to the Professionally Offensive Podcast. I'm your host, Joseph Cabrera. This is the spot where we provide raw, unfiltered insights from some amazing guests. Stand by, you're about to be offended in all the right ways. All right, team, welcome back to the podcast. So we're going to do something different today. Very different. We're doing a three-part series. I think y'all are going to like it. In this series, the reason we're breaking it up into three parts is because we're going to talk about a subject matter that I think requires a lot more diving into. And that way it's also referenceable when you're thinking about this either for your own business or personally as you go through it. And so this, what we're going to do is break the chief of staff topic up into three different parts, this being part one. Part one, we're going to discuss what is a chief of staff and why this is probably the most important hire you'll ever make. And then the other part two, will be who and where you get to find these folks. Who makes a great chief of staff and where can you find them? And then finally, going to wrap this all up with saying how to effectively use it. And that'll be a really great episode because oftentimes it's like buying a race car, but driving it in the parking lot. It's probably not the best way to use something with that much horsepower. And so this is how executives and operators and other folks can best effectively use that position. But for today, we're going to talk about what is a chief of staff and why this position is extremely important. So I think what would be helpful for those of you who maybe heard chief of staff before, I think you probably heard it in politics, military, and more so now in business. But chief of staff, the way that I would think about it, think about this analogy that might help you kind of understand how this fits into the entire ecosystem of a business. If the CEO is the gas, all right, I'm a car guy, so I'm going to go back to using this as an analogy, right? But if the CEO is the gas pedal, right, pushing forward, looking into the future, getting the whole organization moving, and maybe the CFO is the brakes, right, making sure that you're cornering correctly and getting around the corner safely, and the rest of the executive teams are the pistons in the engine that are equally operating their own specific areas to kind of generate the horsepower that's needed, the chief of staff is the oil. It's the position and the executive on the team that makes everything symbiotically work together. And the reason there's a lot of mystique behind this position is just like the oil, you don't really get to see this person working. And if you do, then they're probably not doing it right. This is something to make sure that all the friction points and everything in an organization are getting buffed out to allow that engine to operate, to allow that car to operate at its most optimal. So that's the way I think about chief of staff and how critically important. And just like a car, if you don't get the oil change or if there's no oil in it, you're going to see some bad things happen. So this is why this position, in my opinion, is probably the most important hire you'll ever make. And so I think what would help is talking a little bit about what is a chief of staff and a little bit of background. So in politics and in the military, this is actually a very common position. As a matter of fact, it's not only common, but it's one of those positions that principals, whether they're generals or Congress folks or senators or presidents, do not operate without one. They just don't. That's why it's a big deal when the president of the United States selects who their chief of staff is. It isn't because, you know, they want everybody to know, you know, the person that's scheduling their calendars, which, by the way, a chief of staff does not do that if you're using them correctly, using him or her correctly. But the reason they announce that is because this is the individual, and I'm using the White House as an example, that runs the day-to-day of everything that goes on there between the different departments, between the different secretaries, between the different initiatives, ensures policies being pushed the right ways, ensuring that different friction points are being addressed, and is really the catch-all for all the things that are currently happening within the White House and within the United States and globally, and then serving as that really in-depth side-by-side partner to the President of the United States to ensure that they are making the best decisions with all the information that's happening. So it's not just about gatekeeping, although that can be a part of the role, but it's much more about being able to distill a lot of moving pieces at once and being able to bring it into a decision point that allows a principal to make a decision as effectively as they can with the data that's put out there. So let me give you an example of where all this data might be coming in and you might need to synergize all this information. And a big part of synergizing it also is understanding who's accountable for finding it, right? So have you ever been in a situation before as an operator and you're looking at a problem, right? It might be a particular reason that a certain product line or maybe a new service you offer isn't quite, like there's just a lot of things messy about it. Right, the billing isn't right for some reason, the launching of the situation isn't really kind of going the way that it needs to, and also for some reason you feel like the marketing collateral just isn't there. There's a lot of things wrong. Well, who figures that out? Is it your chief marketing officer? Could be, right? But now you're going to have to hope that they understand operations or are going to spend the time doing it while they're getting their teams to work on the other events. Is it finance? I'm sure they can figure out what's going on with billing, but who's going to make sure that billing is good to go based on when the team launches the product? Do you have that connection point there or not? And so you can kind of see where I'm getting at, right? It's the ownership of who's solving that problem. Whereas a chief of staff can look at something like that. That's a good opportunity to say, okay, I'll take this on. It sounds like a couple different moving pieces. So it's kind of up to me now, because now you've introduced more than two different parties in the company, where I can kind of form a real quick task force or even just a mindset about going in there and let me wrap a couple of these things together. Let me figure out how all these things kind of work and operate together, and then kind of making sure that these things get patched up and they were moving forward, at least providing some kind of solution and working with the different executives, right? The heads of those departments to ensure those are together. This is not by any means a way to step on the toes of any of the executives that are running their departments, but instead to be able to coordinate those efforts so that it ultimately arrives at something that the company can use moving forward. So if you're kind of tracking what I'm saying, this usually comes in times where things aren't going well or things could be done better. And this is where a chief of staff can launch into action there, because that's the individual who's going to be more of the shortstop on the team. They don't have any kind of base on the field that they're like ownership of. They get to say, no, everything and anything that comes through these gaps is something that I take. Also, a big part of why a chief of staff is so important, a lot of it's very personality driven. And so you'll find that this is, and we'll talk about this in the next part there a little bit more so, but these are custom tailor fit to the principal. So you often will find a chief of staff, when a president leaves or when a congressperson leaves or when a general leaves, usually that chief of staff's going to leave with him, right? Because, you know, because that individual, you know, whether that principal, whether he or she believes that, you know, somebody coming in behind them maybe is exactly their personality. The reality of it is it's so custom fit, personality, characteristics, needs, skills, compliments. It's very puzzle piece that it's usually not something, a position that continues forward, and that's fine. And so the reason that this has become such a topic of conversation is that, especially in business, is I remember about 5 or 6 years ago where it became very, like, you started to see the momentum, and maybe even before that. Honestly, I think a lot of the successful companies were using chiefs of staff a lot sooner than more companies are now. Now, if you look on many of the social forums and job postings, you'll see chief of staff jobs all over the place. But beforehand, I think really the most effective and the most kind of progressive companies were using chiefs of staff. And I would argue they probably weren't using them to the fullest ability, but they were mindful of the fact that this was an important position. And in business, it's become more popular because of this dichotomy behind the CEO and the president. And the way that those two positions typically work is you have one of them that's focused on forward vision of the company and typically, you know, might be involved in product or technology or have some kind of knack that they lean into, while the president runs the day-to-day. Presidents and chief operating officers can be synonymous, but they can also be two separate positions in a company. A chief of staff actually fits kind of in between the CEO and the president, right? And it is something that I've actually seen companies run successfully, having a president and a chief of staff. It doesn't have to be one or the other, but it is something that a chief of staff can fit right between those two positions and allow to really have, if you can imagine, three horses pulling the main helm there, right? We have a visionary, you have kind of that very typical, what I like to call vice principal of a school, who's ensuring that, you know, that people are running in a regimen and keeping discipline about executing the day-to-day business. And then you have a chief of staff who's able to really kind of go in between everybody, be able to use their influence and their understanding of what the friction points amongst the different departments and teams are, and be able to give the CEO unfiltered feedback about what it, you know, what that he or she needs to be able to do to execute the proper decisions moving forward. And so I think business has really figured out that this is critically important, especially where maybe they're not able to afford a president, or they're not ready to bring a president on. Maybe a CEO still wants to maintain that. Well, chief of staff is where this position comes in extremely handy. And so what I think would be helpful to discuss what a chief of staff really is and why this position is the most, you know, important position you'll hire, I think let me talk a little bit about what it isn't first. So what a chief of staff isn't, probably the most misunderstood thing that most folks think a chief of staff is, which it isn't, it is not an admin or an administrative support position. Nothing wrong with those positions. As a matter of fact, extremely important. But as a chief of staff, you know, for me personally, as a former chief of staff, I actually had my own admin, somebody who helped me with my day-to-day because I operated as an executive in that position when I was doing that role. And so it isn't an admin. It isn't somebody that's there to manage calendars and to, you know, ensure that, you know, they're greeting guests as they come in and making sure that people are coordinated on meeting rooms. That's not that, and doing travel. If you're using a chief of staff for that, I would say that you're really having that individual box way below their weight class. And so what I would argue, again, admins are important positions and critical to the movement of a company, but what a chief of staff isn't an admin. They're also not a president or COO, a chief operating officer. And the reason that distinction is important is because if a chief of staff is a president or a COO, they're in the direct line or chain of some folks in the organization, right? Whether a COO, if chief of staff was the same thing, then they would run the operations department and have direct reports. If they were the president, they'd have a lot of executives that directly report into them. The reason a chief of staff is powerful is because of their ability to have no direct reports or direct lines in the company and instead only be able to use their influence to be able to get the job done. It's tricky. It's hard. It requires a very particular breed of person and characteristics, but this is where the special sauce is, right? And we'll talk about that more. And the final thing is that there isn't a direct authority, and I kind of mentioned that about it, you know, using influence. The reason, so we'll just talk about it now. So the reason that having direct authority is really critical to this position is because in order for the chief of staff to be able to operate as effectively as possible, they have to be able to go to different departments as a representative of the CEO and be able to carry out information gathering, direction, strategy, problem solving, quick split decisions without any department feeling like they have to check in with anybody. Right. And the reason that's important is not just to go under the radar and have some kind of shadow government working in your organization, but it's also to build trust that when the chief of staff is running around and ensuring that things are in order, that there isn't any hesitation and allows the organization to run much more smoother and faster because there isn't a traditional line of authority that has to happen or some kind of approval process, right? If a chief of staff's coming in there, if that person has done a good job about establishing their credibility and trustworthiness, then they're going to be able to then carry out as if the CEO was there in person giving that piece of instruction or, you know, whatever the directions are coming down. But what a chief of staff is, I was talking to a CEO the other day, and when I brought this up based on there was some feedback I was hearing or there was some information I was hearing even in the problems he's trying to solve, and I said, it sounds like you need a chief of staff. You ever had one? And he said, well, no, I mean, I don't need somebody who helps me with my calendars and stuff. And, you know, and I'm smiling inside because that's a very common misconception about what that position is. What I explained to that principal there, what I explained to that CEO is chiefs of staff, you should be thinking about it as much more about how do you reduce what's left on the table? How do you ensure that your opportunity costs are really, truly being accounted for? Chiefs of staff are much more about growth and execution than they are about just making sure they're maintaining the ship. And the reason that's an important distinction to make is when folks naturally think chief of staff, they think about keeping orderly and organized. And that is important for sure. That is something that's very critical to what it is that role encompasses with someone who is execution forward. And again, in part two, we'll talk a little bit about that archetype and who really makes a good chief of staff. But as the position exists itself, the way CEOs and senior operators need to be thinking about this position is, how many things do I leave on the table on a daily basis, on a monthly basis, on a quarterly basis that I'm not able to get to or action to because I can't multiply myself? And although I can give instructions to, you know, my subordinate leaders or to other executives on the team, they're busy running their departments. And maybe they're not being able to execute the way that I would want that to be carried forward. And so there is a lot of CEOs from my experience that end their years and go, oh, it was a good year. We hit our goals, but you know what? We could have done more had I just had time to do X, Y, and Z, or had I been able to somehow clone myself. Well, when you have those kind of thoughts, that's where a chief of staff can come in extremely useful. And again, the reason a chief of staff is important is because this individual is somebody that allows that principal to scale who they are. And the reason they're able to do that, if used appropriately, and again, we'll talk about this in part three, about using your chief of staff correctly and to the full potential there, is because they are able to, the chief of staff is able to sit side by side with the CEO almost at all times. So if you have a one-on-one meeting, the way you would effectively use the chief of staff, we'll get a little preview into part three here, is you'd have that chief of staff sitting with you. Every meeting or major strategy call, you'd have that chief of staff with you. Every investor meeting, you'd have that chief of staff with you. So now you can begin to understand why this isn't an admin position, right? This is somebody who has to be able to keep up, be very business savvy, and understand what is being said to you at the same time, right? It's in real time that this chief of staff is also digesting the information. They're also there to help you find blind spots and identify maybe so-and-so in a meeting said something a certain kind of way. I don't know if you caught that or not, Mr. and Mrs. CEO, but I think this is something we need to dig into further. Let me take a stab at it, and I'll get back to you and see if this is something that, you know, we need to kind of put a plan around, or if this is something we can solve here pretty quickly. But as you can imagine, having somebody who can be there at all times, where all you're doing now when you decide to go left or to go right, well, now you can do both, right? Because there's been situations where I remember in the past where one of us had to be on one part of the country and the other one had to be on the other. And we briefed each other, and I was, you know, given, hey, this is how much decision authority you have. This is the kind of decision I want to make, but I don't have to get into the minutia, Joseph, because you were there the whole time with me, right? So I know you're going to make the decisions as if I, you know, you're in my brain, right? So I know how you're going to execute that. And so as you can start to kind of permeate and think about why this position is super important, the reason that it's important is because of its ability to allow you individually as an operator, as a CEO, as an executive, to scale, right, your reach, and at the same time feel very solid about what the output of that is. The thing that I also tell CEOs is that chiefs of staff are not only just a very valuable position to have on your team, it's a really good way to give back to this sport of business. And what I mean by that is that chiefs of staff, when you're thinking about the right candidate, you should be thinking about, this is probably the most epic training for a future CEO, being a chief of staff. And the reason that's an important thing to think about is because as you're thinking about what it is, and you know, that you need as a principal and as somebody who is growing a company or in operating a company, you should be thinking that if chief of staff makes sense to bring onto your team, how is this individual going to contribute? Well, they need to contribute almost on par with me. It'll take some ramp up time, but they need to be able to contribute at that level. And even though they have no direct decision authority, they still need to be able to think, talk, walk like I do. And what it allows them to do in return by being able to support you and your endeavors and also the company is you're giving them that real-time experience of what it's really like to be a CEO. It's no better on-the-job training than actually doing it. You're not reading it in a book. They're not going out there and watching a YouTube video. They're not going out there and talking to somebody about who's been a CEO before and given a day in the life. They're actually living it with you. So that when it is time for them to leave, because this is what's going to happen, right? If you're hiring the right folks, those individuals will be leaving your organization at some point. And that's a good thing. And this is a way for you to give back as an executive, because now you've given that future CEO the opportunity to go run another company now, right? Or to go do something else and allow them to go do good things for more people, right? To be able to add their what they've learned at your company and what they are going to be able to contribute at the next company and be able to leave the world even a better place by now scaling their reach and what they've learned in that new environment. And the thing to think about too is when you're thinking about chiefs of staff and bringing them on, it's not uncommon, especially for the companies and CEOs and principals that operate this way, to have many chiefs of staff. You know, every 2 years you might have another chief of staff, right? And you might need a different personality depending on the time because of what it is that's being done at the company. And so this is where keeping that ebb and flow is really important. But it's also the individual that allows you to be able to identify problems quickly and to be able to move forward with those problems as you see fit. So that's kind of my intro right here on episode one of why this is the most important hire you'll make, right? And there's a lot of things we're going to dive into in the next parts there, especially with who makes a great chief of staff, right? And where the heck do I find these folks, right? Because as I'm probably talking to them about you, they probably sound like unicorns or somebody that doesn't exist. And to give you a teaser, it is a unique set, right, of different personality traits from high EQ to execution, that kind of stuff. It can be difficult to find, but they're out there. And then, of course, how to then effectively use your chief of staff, right? As you think about operating your business, it's very quick and easy to be rigid, not give trust, and then have a hard time really extrapolating the value of that individual. And this is where I do think that if you can use them effectively, then you're only going to be able to add value to yourself and the company. And so the takeaways from why, again, this is important, just to kind of recap everything. It's important, first of all, because as you think about your company as an engine, you need the oil in the organization. And if you think I can do it, or I got a really great chief operating officer that can do it, I would argue that that is probably you being short-sighted, right? You thinking that in the time that I have free, I'll go ahead and do a culture check-in, or I'll go ahead and talk to so-and-so when I get some time because I noticed that they kind of stormed out of that meeting and maybe I need to go handle it, but I got to go do these other things first and then I'll come back around. If you're thinking that you'll get to it, my strong admittance of why this is important is because now you have somebody, if you have a chief of staff on the team, somebody who's going to be able to do it right away for you and be able to handle that and give you honest and critical feedback about next steps and what to do. Additionally, the reason that this position is important is because it's been proven, right? It's been proven in politics, it's been proven in the military, and it's been proven in other facets in successful businesses that chiefs of staff are an incredible piece. They're actually one of the first folks to get announced as here is Congressperson so-and-so, and you know, or here is Senator so-and-so, or here is Governor so-and-so, and this is their chief of staff, right? It's a very common thing to do, and it's not just for pageantry, it's because it's a very critical position. A lot of the essence of that is in the operations and the execution that you only get to see as you're doing it. But this is the way that I can kind of articulate it to you. And then finally, it's for companies who want to be more than what they are. It's not, I would argue that if you're looking for a chief of staff just to kind of keep things running, then you might be wasting your time. But if you're looking to take your company to new heights where you didn't even know you could be, getting a chief of staff is the only way to do that. And it isn't because they are, you know, the best thing since sliced bread, but it is because they are able to execute in your mindset, in your framework, and through the way that you think about things while also adding their own approach to solving problems and to being able to grow your company to the next level. They're able to infuse even their own personality in that solution, which then gives you the opportunity to then see things that you may never have even had time to see before, which is important. And again, a lot of these chiefs of staff go on to be future CEOs, entrepreneurs, senior executives at major companies. A lot of them go into executive advisement. There's a lot of things that chiefs of staff go to afterwards that become incredibly valuable to the world. But while you get to use them and operate with them, then I think this is an opportunity for companies to really become more than what they think they can be even. So, chief of staff, most important hire you'll ever make. And I am looking forward to talking about the next two episodes here or talking to you all in the next two episodes about how it is that you find these folks and who makes good ones. And then, of course, how it is that you effectively use it. Okay, well, that's all I got for y'all today. We will see you here in the next two episodes. Well, thank y'all for listening. This is the Professionally Offensive Podcast. You can catch us on all platforms. JC out.